Ladies and gentlemen, rock and roll.
Hey, this is Jonathan.
And this is Alan, and welcome to the Nerd and Me podcast. Jonathan? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you, Alan?
How you? He's doing fine.
I was going to say, how are you, sir? But I'm like, you don't deserve that kind of respect.
Like mother effer. All right.
Jonathan, how you's
doing? All right. Well, you're from Jersey now. Hey, what are we talking about tonight?
You're from Jersey, too.
Yeah, I know.
All right, don't say it so sad. Today, or tonight, depending on when you're listening to this, we are talking about our top five favorite albums from the 1980s.
Oh,
so one of our rules was it had to be from between 1980 and 1989.
Hence the 80s.
Yeah. So we were just talking right before we hit record, and it seems we both took this topic in different directions. So why don't we discuss that real quick?
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't you go first?
Okay. Well, what I did is, the 80s to 89 was our, what do they call that? Tweens?
Yeah.
Our tween to adult years for you and I.
Mm-hmm.
So I took it as albums that were meaningful, that we would listen to constantly, both sides, every song we felt was good. And, we're talking the deep cuts, not just the ones you heard on the radio. Ones we would go to and pop into our Sony Walkman or our CD player or whatever. And that we kind of wore out because we listened to them so much. What did you take it as?
Well, actually pretty close, I guess. The albums I picked were more of, I guess it's basically the same thing. It's kind of like the albums I chose, I really made sure, like, if I looked at all the songs, because on albums and cassettes, there's an A side, B side. I was looking at the albums in a sense of, wow, like, all right, all the A sides were really good. All the B sides are really good. So that would actually make me want to listen to the whole album, mm-hmm. Because there are a lot of albums that are fantastic, but I would probably say maybe I would like two or three songs on, even though I love the songs, like you said, influential. But
right.
I wouldn't consider them good albums in that sense, Like Pink Floyd, The Wall, again, doesn't fit the 80s part of it, but there's a couple of songs where, I listened to it to death, but I couldn't say I love, like, I played it from beginning to end,
Right. And I think that's the important part of our list is that the deep cuts are what really make it, because every album I chose had pop radio hits on it.
Okay.
That made the top 40. But like I said earlier, from start to finish, you can listen to the whole thing and be like, there's not one bad song on this. And again, this is our personal opinion.
Sure.
People might think otherwise with the albums we pick, but for us, these were the ones that really for me, shaped my teenage years.
80s was a really cool time for music too. Like the whole diversity of, it's like you got the classic rock, the new rock, you have the beginning of rap, pop,
punk.
Yeah, it was like a whole hodgepodge of a little bit of everything. So it was a really neat time period because all these things were starting all at the same time.
And don't forget you had the rise of, I guess you would call it, I don't know what they call it, I don't know if they call it goth music, but I'm talking like the Smiths and that kind of stuff. So that kind of rose during the 80s too.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's true.
And, do you remember the big instrument of the 80s was the synthesizer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Buy me a Coke.
The keytar.
right. Okay. All right. You want to get?
But that's a separate podcast because I think if we need to do a one-hit wonder or pop music of the 80s podcast at some point, too.
Yeah, let's do one-hit wonder. It'll be like a 10-minute show.
Absolutely. No. You know how many one-hit wonders came out of the 80s?
Yeah, a lot. Okay, why don't you get started? You want to get started? Let's get started.
You want me to start? Why don't you start? Okay, I'll start.
And you start.
All right.
I know what you're going to say.
What's that? You know what I'm going to say?
Yeah. All right, I've known you for 30 years. I know what your album's going to be.
What is it going to be?
It's going to be... no, I don't want to ruin it for you. Go ahead. Do it.
How are you going to ruin it for me?
Enjoy your thunder. Do it.
You talk a lot of crap, bro. All right. my first album, because now that you think you know what it's going to be, I'm going to switch it up.
Oh, your mother.
No, I'm not, actually. My first album is a little bit of a cheat because it's a three CD album. I think it was a five, record album set. It's Bruce Springsteen Live. I'm sorry, Bruce Springsteen, the E Street Band Live, 1975 to 1985.
Cool. Why is that a cheat?
Yeah, it was his first. Well, because it's five albums.
Oh, that's cool.
Five albums worth of music. But I had it on CD. I was, well, not obviously, but I had it on CD. And it was three CDs. Mm-hmm. So what it was Springsteen has this reputation for being a fantastic live show kind of guy. So for the first time in his career, in 1985, he took 10 years of his music from 1975 to 1985, pulled out his best songs, pulled out the best live versions of those songs they could find, and put them on in this collection. And this thing, first of all, when it was announced, it's coming right off the heels of the Born in the USA album, which sold gangbusters. Mm-hmm. So when this, I remember when this album came out, mm-hmm. People were waiting out in line for it.
Really?
It sold out very quickly. It was just the sales for this album went through the roof because he had that reputation of being such a great live player, and right. because his shows were bootlegged constantly, and I didn't realize how much they were bootlegged until I got to college. I don't know if you remember outside the cafeteria, the vendors would set up, and there was always a guy there selling bootleg cassettes of concerts.
Right,
and he just had tons of Bruce shows from the 70s on.
Jonathan's talking about the cafeteria where we went to college at.
Right.
They had the vendors, right? Yeah, those guys are cool.
They sell earrings and jewelry and things like that. So I think this is a huge deal because finally you were able to get, it was a nice coming together of a lot of different things. You get to hear Bruce live, with CD quality, which was new and at the time was the best way to hear the music now, the sounds and stuff. A lot of deep cuts on a lot of his albums that weren't maybe chart toppers, but were great live Atlas songs, and people were hearing it. And I mean, this thing it's three discs. It has Lord knows how many songs.
But you keep saying disc. You mean the CD? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, because I had it on CD. That's why.
Oh, that's messed up. Okay.
Why is it messed up?
Because you the topic was. Albums, record albums, dude.
Oh, you took it literally?
Well, did they have CDs in the 80s?
Yeah, well, obviously.
They did? 80s, 80s.
Yes.
Okay, maybe so. Okay.
Yeah, because I had, I got my CD player. I told you in one of our former episodes that my first, whatever, dude. You totally threw me off with that question. You didn't know there were CDs existed in the 1980s.
I'm trying to think.
It was a three-disc.
Go ahead.
It was a three CD, five album set, and it spanned from live tracks from his first album on up. One of my favorite is on the first disc. It's Spirit in the Night, which was a song off his first album. Mm-hmm. Back in 1972, I believe, was his first album. Greetings from Asbury Park, New Jersey. And he's just fantastic live. And you've known me for 30 years, and Bruce has shaped, his music has helped shape kind of who I am and my beliefs. And I've seen Bruce live many times in the past 30 years. And he lives up to the hype. And this album really, I would put this album on. I come home from school, I lie in my bed, I do my homework, and I just play this all three discs over and over again. All day and all night until it's time to eat and then time to go to bed.
Sweet. All right, yeah, that's cool, great. Man. Bruce!
Oh, little known fact. Yeah. This is his first album where the E Street Band got credit on it. So even though they play it on every album from 1972 to Born in the USA, it was always just listed as Bruce Springsteen and then the name of the album. This was the Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. So it's the first album they ever got credit on.
Oh, that's pretty neat. Did you ever listen to the E Street Band before I don't even know the story. E Street Band, were they a separate band and then Bruce, they joined up together or something? Is that what happened?
No, it was always Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. But for whatever reason, since he wrote probably all the music. Like the album was like, it was Bruce Springsteen, Born in the USA, but the backing band was the E Street Band, you know, so
he was with,
yeah, they were with him the whole time, just maybe because it was live, he gave them credit, he decided to give them credit on this album, okay. I guess.
Nice. Cool. And yeah. What was the name of that album again?
Yeah. Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band Live, 1975 to 85.
Beautiful.
Yep. It's funny because there's only one song from 1975. The rest came after 1975.
Okay. And being that you're from Central Jersey and he's kind of, what is he, what, from South Jersey? I don't know. Where the hell is he?
Freehold,
from?
New Jersey.
Oh, is he from Freehold?
Central. He's from Central New Jersey.
Central Jersey? Yeah.
He's from Freehold.
And you knew of him as he was popular?
Just Born in the USA.
Okay.
He got big with Born in the USA. And then I actually had a friend in sophomore year in college. We used to go over to his house and drink on the weekends, and it would always wind up with us listening to Springsteen.
Hold on, he's from Freehold?
Blasting it. Bruce Springsteen, yes, yeah. He's from Freehold.
I never knew
that. Yeah, he played the clubs in Asbury Park. Oh. Yeah, he's definitely a sure guy.
That's crazy. You know what school he went to?
Yeah. I do. He went to St. Rose of Lima, and he went to Freehold Borough High School.
I did not know that. Been to Freehold so many freaking times.
Yeah, you have.
and it's funny because, going from, from North Jersey and I used to come visit you, I'd pass by Sayreville and I always thought about Bon Jovi and I never thought about Freehold and Springsteen.
Well, he didn't have a great childhood, so he doesn't really, for a long time, people just thought he was from Asbury Park because he played all the clubs there and stuff.
That's where I assumed he was from, so.
Yeah, he's proud to be from Jersey, maybe not so much from Freehold.
Okay.
Gotcha. I actually read his, I'm in the midst of reading his autobiography, and I mean, he doesn't crap on Freehold, but he doesn't have a lot of good memories of Freehold. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't say it's a crap place,
yeah.
But he'll say, like, this is what growing up for me was like in this town.
Okay.
And I couldn't wait to get out.
All right.
But actually, he comes back now. He does a charity show, I think, every year for one of the local churches or schools or something.
Okay.
But he still has a house in New Jersey.
I'm sure he has a house like in every 50 state.
Yeah, it's not in Freehold though. It's in right, yeah.
Okay. All right. Anything more on that little album you got?
No, just if you have never heard of it, go buy it now.
Especially if you like Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, you'll like him afterwards.
All right. Since we're talking about Jersey, I'm going to throw you a Jersey boy too. Bon Jovi's Slippery When Wet. That's got to be on your list. Was that on your list?
It is not, and I'll tell you why when we get to my Bon Jovi choice.
Okay. Bon Jovi's Slippery When Wet. Again, my mindset was how many songs on the album that were pretty complete, and I kind of went through all of them. There's 10 tracks, and good Lord, I think I like them all. Let It Rock, You Give Love a Bad Name, Living on a Prayer, Social Disease, Wanted Dead or Alive, Raise Your Hands Without Love, I Die For You, Never Say Goodbye. Well, I mean, shoot, I think every single album probably hit the radio, I think. But my influences in music, especially looking through the albums that I chose, I play guitar. And so a lot of my stuff was kind of more guitar-centric, I guess. But Bon Jovi had the whole thing. I mean, the lyrics were great. I liked his singing. Bon Jovi was the kind of guy, or maybe the kind of album where you probably have like a bunch of your friends in your car and you try your hardest to hit his high notes and no one could. Yeah. But he had that kind of album, those kind of songs where everyone kind of knew, so everyone would all sing together. And he was pretty influential going up, going through high school and stuff. And, again, I was in a band and we played a couple of their songs, Wanted Dead or Alive, Living on a Prayer, and yeah, it was cool. And I remember, having a, in high school, you would have a band and then you'd have the girls and you'd invite the girls to come over and they would want to sing even though they were terrible. You invite the girls over anyway and be like, oh, yeah, you can sing Bon Jovi, because none of us could. No one could even come close to hitting the notes that he could.
His high notes are crazy.
Yeah, so you'd invite the girls over to sing some Bon Jovi. That's what you'd do. And I play piano, so especially on some of his tracks, he had some really nice keyboard parts to it, and yeah, it was fun, lots of fun. But that's to me, that's, yeah, I was surprised to see how many songs on there were pretty popular, and I can definitely say I played that thing to death, top to bottom. Pretty complete album.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I listened to that album constantly too. And how many school dances were you at that ended with "Never Say Goodbye"? Lasso song.
yeah, that's true for sure. I mean, it's a lot of good freaking songs on that album.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah, I mean, and if you look at Bon Jovi today, I mean, they're definitely not as big, but it's funny how a lot of people are still familiar. I mean, even my daughter knows who Bon Jovi is, you know, and he hasn't had like a major hit album in a long, long time. But
his current one did pretty well. Yeah,
His current album, I don't even know anything about it.
Yeah, it did pretty well.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is, and every album we're talking about is now considered classic rock, which is so bizarre because, you know, we're talking about music from the 80s. Classic rock to us was the beginnings of rock. It was the Beatles. It was, whoever else came around the Beatles time, you know, mm-hmm. that was classic rock. And now the stuff we grew up with is considered classic rock, and it kind of blows my mind. But yeah, when you talk about Slippery, You Give Love a Bad Name, Living on a Prayer, One Day at a Time, probably three of the greatest songs that come out of the 80s. Living on a Prayer, I think I remember reading that it was listed as the greatest song from the 80s.
Oh, no kidding, really?
Yeah, I know you don't go out often. Like, I go to happy hours a lot. Well, I used to. And everybody, Living on a Prayer would always make the jukebox.
Okay,
and,
I got
and you. Every place I would go to and talk to the bartenders, they're like, they hate that song because they hear it so much.
But it's... again, with
but everybody
with this
sings
album,
along. Everybody stops and sings along.
Everyone sings along. It's the album that everyone knows, and everyone like has fun singing, even though it's such. I'm gonna say it's 86. It's, you know, it's back then, but it's still a fun album. I think I could put that album on, and play it and let it run and be very familiar with all the music on it. So again, greatest album of the 80s. That's for me. That's one of them because every single song just hits it for me. All of them. Oh, yeah, I don't think there's one that's actually bad on it. But again,
I'll tell you, I'm not a big fan of Social Disease, mm-hmm. and I tolerate Let It Rock, but I really don't like Social Disease. I always skip past that song.
Okay.
But yeah, and how awesome was it when Spaceballs came out and it opens up with Raise Your Hands, you know, and John Candy's dancing around the ship, eating at it, and then, you know, they're doing Raise Your Hands.
Bon Jovi. Okay.
Yeah, that's a great album. Yeah,
thank you.
Good choice.
All right.
So I did pick a Bon Jovi album. I went to his next album because I felt it was more refined, I guess.
It really
talked about the sound better. Yeah. It was Bon Jovi, New Jersey.
That's a great album.
Which came out in 88.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you talk about Lay Your Hands on Me, Bad Medicine, Born to Be My Baby, Living in Sin, Blood on Blood, Homebound Train, Wild as the Wind, Ride Cowboy Ride, Stick to Your Guns, I'll Be There for You.
Yeah.
99 in the Shade and Love for Sale. So I just felt like that was more of a more kind of really refined the sound of Bon Jovi. Mm-hmm. And I just love, you know, as much as I love the Slippery songs, like I'll sing at the top of my lungs to Lay Your Hands on Me, to Bad Medicine, to Born to Be My Baby, to Blood on Blood, to I'll Be There for You. You know, those, like, I'll scream those bad boys out.
Fantastic album. Really, I mean, yeah, when I was choosing mine, I actually wrote New Jersey first, mm-hmm. because it is a great album. But when I was, again, because I went with how many of the songs I liked on it, I think I liked more in Slippery than New Jersey, and that's why I went with Slippery. But hey, New Jersey, freaking fantastic album. And you're right, talking about refining their sound, they sound solid on that album. I mean, I think Slippery had more of a pop rock, right. And New Jersey had more of a deeper, they were very tight on that album. I mean, they were nailing that album.
The thing is, Bon Jovi doesn't get a lot of respect from like the hard rock metal guys because they just, you know, they sort of big hair and the tight spandex pants and stuff like that, and they kind of don't get the respect they deserved. And
well, they did a lot of more. They were showcased a lot on pop radio. I think that's why.
Yes. They were. I mean, the last two albums. How many hits just off the last two albums did we name?
Freaking yeah.
Yeah. And the sad thing is, this year they're being inducted into the to Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but they had to be fan voted in. Like, even the industry didn't respect what they did or what they've done. So, you know, they had to be voted in by the fans.
Is it because they weren't recognized as a rock band? Maybe that's what it is. I mean, they're a great band.
Well, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know, they do have, like, they have rap artists, they have blues artists, they go beyond the definition of rock, but I really think it's an industry, the industry not respecting them.
That's crazy.
Because you gotta look, Kiss had to come in by the fan vote, and I believe Rush had to come in by the fan vote. So, you know, the industry doesn't always make the best picks.
I feel you.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, so New Jersey, I listened to that thing constantly. It was an awesome follow-up to Slippery. And I think that's hard for a lot of bands to do, to have that really huge hit album and then follow up with another one.
Yeah, those are two solid albums.
And they hit in popularity and in sales. Because I think even after Born in the USA, I think it was Tunnel of Love, and, you know, it nowhere near hit the heights of Born in the USA, but I think New Jersey, I don't have the numbers, but I'm pretty sure New Jersey probably equaled, if not surpassed, Slippery.
Well, yeah, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it at all. I mean, Slippery put them on the map. New Jersey really solidified their staying power, I guess, of they're just not a fluke, you know?
Right, right.
What was that one before? Yeah. Fahrenheit something? Was it called Fahrenheit?
Fahrenheit 7800, or 7800 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, that was an okay. I mean, that one didn't have as many hits.
That had, I love that album. That had In and Out of Love, I think, was on that one.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
And there, you know, we talk about Bruce being a great live band. Back in the day, Bon Jovi was a tremendously great live band. My first concert was actually New Year's Eve, 1985 to 1987. It was Bon Jovi with Cinderella opening.
Oh, sick.
Yeah.
That's a lot of hairspray.
My very first concert. I was like 12 or 13. My cousin arranged it. My older cousin Cyrus arranged it. We went in a limo. It was fantastic.
What?
I drank Oski Spumante in the back of the limo.
Wow, you're living it up, bro.
It was, man. It was great because when we pulled up,
yeah,
and people thought we were famous. Like, ooh, who's in the limo? Just a bunch of 14-year-olds. 14, 15, 16-year-olds. But that was a great... And we were in the very last row of the Brenda Byrne Arena in the Meadowlands. Sick. It was great.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see.
Let's take this out of New Jersey.
Okay, my next album, this is probably... If I had to think of my top album, I would probably pick this probably my number one. AC/DC, Back in Black, 1980. I love this album to death. Again, I play guitar. Of all the songs that I love playing, it's probably AC/DC stuff, but again, this album has it all. Hell's Bells, Shoot to Thrill, What Do You Do for Money, Giving the Dog a Bone, Back in Black, of course, Shook Me All Night Long. That gets more radio play. Have a Drink on Me, Shake a Leg, Rock and Roll Ain't Noise Pollution, Let Me Put My Love Into You. Every freaking song, I love this album. I loved AC/DC. My brother introduced me to AC/DC. I must have been in, third grade. And when Bon Scott used to sing for them, weird lyrics, you know, like TNT, and I think it's called Big Balls. I think it was such
a... Yeah, it's a song, Big Balls, yeah.
Yeah, and I got hooked on with that. And then Bon Scott passed away, then Brian Johnson took over. And, you know, and I think that's hard to do when you lose a lead singer that was very popular. AC/DC was so very popular at the time, and him passing away and a new singer comes in and they nail it, that's pretty amazing too. But of all the AC/DC albums, this is definitely one of my top pick. Again, so many freaking good songs on this one, but I love AC/DC, love Angus Young. I have a Gibson SG. My wife got that for me for my birthday. Same guitar that Angus plays. Freaking awesome song. I think the only cool AC/DC story I got is I went to see them. Shoot, I don't even know what year this was, but I think I was in eighth grade, and my older brother took me to Fly in the Wall as my first concert. I don't think I can repeat what happened that night, because I think my mom listens. But...
Did you become a man?
No, I guess everything you would think would happen at a heavy metal rock. I mean, to me, AC/DC at the time, they were considered, you know, heavy rock.
Right.
Yeah, all the shenanigans that go along with a rock concert happened and super influential to me. But after that moment, I was like, oh my God, I love AC/DC. And I've hit a couple concerts throughout the years, not all of them. As they got older, they've changed. Oh, it's sad right now. I know the brother passed away, Malcolm, and their singer.
Did they kick Brian Johnson out or something?
He was deaf, I think, right? Yeah, he was having hearing issues, and they got Axl to sing, which was bizarre to hear Axl sing AC/DC, but works, I guess. But no, I didn't see them in concert, but Back in Black. Love that freaking album. Shoot to Thrill, my number one song on that album, though. In case you were wondering. That's a good song. Yeah. Play that song on Rock Band.
How'd you feel about Iron Man using like a whole AC/DC soundtrack?
Actually pretty cool because, yeah, especially that song Shoot to Thrill, mm-hmm. That is Iron Man 2, and my daughter is very familiar with it. So when she hears that song, she thinks that part in Iron Man, which is pretty cool. And, right. and they used it. They used the AC/DC in the first Iron Man movie, too. So it's pretty neat. It tickles me to hear AC/DC, like, in commercials. It's just bizarre, you know? Because back then, it was almost kind of taboo to listen to AC. You know, because during that time, let's face it, AC/DC, Iron Maiden, Metallica, they had these little devil connotations.
All devil worshippers.
Yeah, it was kind of taboo to even say, oh, you like AC/DC, you know. So when you wore your AC/DC rock concert shirt to school, it's like, oh, man, this guy's badass, you know. But now you see AC/DC, you hear on a commercial. it's so funny. But anyway.
Yeah, you know what's funny is I buy Funko Pops, and every once in a while I go into a Hot Topic. To buy them, which is the only reason I would go into a Hot Topic.
Yeah.
But they have like walls of t-shirts and they have a lot of these rock bands,
mm-hmm.
Like Nirvana, AC/DC, and you know the kids buying them never listen to them. They just like that they're cool looking shirts.
Oh,
and
I'm yeah,
like,
I gotcha. Yeah.
It's just so bizarre. It's so bizarre to walk in and see, mm-hmm. like you said, AC/DC, because AC/DC did have that air about them that, you know, you shouldn't listen to them. You're not allowed to, because maybe, you know, yes. You know, every heavy metal band was thought to be Satan worshippers and you know, or they cursed on their songs and things like that. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Just things like that. And it was verboten to listen to them. So you would sneak it. But yeah, man, that's a great album. Back in Black.
Okay.
You scarred me.
Okay. What you got next?
All right. My next one is the first CD I bought. The same day on my birthday, my mother took me to Sears or wherever to get a stereo system with a CD player in it.
The WWF album?
No, that was my first cassette. Jerk. my first cassette. No, my first CD was Def Leppard Hysteria.
Oh, that was on. That's next on mine.
Is it really?
Yeah. No, oh, that's a freaking good album, bro.
That's a great album.
Yeah.
And they were. I mean, that album just hit. I mean, Pour Some Sugar on Me probably rivaled in how huge it got to Living on a Prayer. I mean, everybody was singing Pour Some Sugar on Me.
The dumbest lyrics in the world.
It really is. I still don't know what it means. Yeah. But it's a great album, man. And I listened to it. And as it being my first CD, it was awesome. Like, the first time hearing
sweet.
That.
That was your first CD?
Yeah.
Dude, that's a good pick.
Yeah.
Good job.
And then the funny thing is they didn't, for some reason, they didn't have a lot of CDs. I was it JCPenney or Sears? I remember where we bought the thing from, and I had to talk my mom into it because she's like, I'm spending all this, like, I don't know, $200, $300 on the stereo system.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm not buying you anything else. I'm like, what's the point of getting me a CD player if I don't have a CD? I use logic on my mom. I
almost
said
my saving up for your Star Wars toys, you idiot.
No, she wasn't. Yeah. Trust me, she wasn't. album. But they didn't have a big selection, so I'm like, all right, this looks good. Yeah. I picked up Def Leppard Hysteria, and my life has never been the same. it's just a great Women, Rocket, Animal, Love Bites, Pour Some Sugar on Me, Armageddon, It, Gods of War, Don't Shoot Shotgun, Run Riot, Hysteria, Excitable, Love and Affection. Just some great, great.
You know what? I like that song Rocket because it seems like it goes on forever. It's like a freaking 10-minute song.
Where is it? Let me see. Rocket. Yeah, it's pretty long.
Yeah.
That's a great album.
I loved Armageddon. It loved Bite. Well, Love Bites was what it loved. I liked Animal, too. I really liked Animal.
Yeah. I like the song Hysteria. That's a cool song.
Yeah, that's a great song, too. And what's good about this album is it made me go back to Pyromania, which is a fantastic
album. That's a great album, too.
But I wanted to go Hysteria because it kind of launched me.
Now, did you ever see Def Leppard in concert?
I did it.
Okay, so I got a good story for this one. Oh, no, it's not a good story. I'm just saying that I went to this. I went, huh? What'd you say?
I said it's on your list also, so, you know.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, thank you. I went to the Hysteria concert, and it was this album was pretty important for Def Leppard because their drummer lost his arm in a car accident.
And, oh, that's right.
Right, yeah. And you know, Def Leppard was really big before Hysteria. You know, Pyromania, like you mentioned, that was a great album. I mean, like, I remember at school, you had the AC/DC crowd, and then you had the Def Leppard crowd, you know, and for some reason they didn't jive. I don't know what the hell that meant, but it was a great album. But yeah, Hysteria was a big album because it was an album that they cut after the drummer lost his arm, and you would think, well, how's a drummer play drums without two arms? But he used foot pedals, obviously, and we saw him at a giant stadium, and typically when you would see a concert, you would have the stage set up on like one far side of the stadium, right? Def Leppard this time they planned themselves dead center, and I don't remember the drummer's name. I apologize, but
Joe Elliott.
Oh wait, no, he's a singer.
That the drummer? That's
no, Joe Elliott's a singer. Bet. Anyway,
Phil Collins, Steve. Something?
No, he's a guitar player.
I'll get it. All right, keep talking. I'll get it.
Okay, it'll pop up. You know, who remembers the drummer's name anyway?
Everybody, Phil Collins.
Anyway. So he's situated dead center. So the stage is in the center, and drummer guy, I feel bad. I'm not saying his real name. Anyway, he's in the center too. And every song, his whole set, the drum set would rotate to face one part of the crowd. So you would see him play with his feet, which was
Rick Allen.
Rick Allen, yes. I'm sorry, Rick Allen. Yeah, so you would see him play. Because if he was on one side of the stage, you wouldn't really see him. You know, because drummers are typically in the back. He showcased this album, which was really cool. So they'd play a song, and his whole set would rotate to face another part of the stage. So you actually could see him freaking pound this thing using his feet. It was mind-blowing. And you would think, how would he do it? And he did it. It was absolutely amazing. So when you hear Def Leppard today, it's still him using his feet playing. But talk about perseverance. To be in a big-time band, you're the drummer, and you're still able to perform. I mean, hey, they could easily replace them. I mean, you know, but
I remember there was a lot of pressure on them for this album because it was delayed, obviously, because of that. Yeah. Because there was a huge amount of time, I think, between Pyromania and Hysteria.
Because I think Pyromania, I want to guess 84, possibly.
Yeah, maybe even 83.
Could be 83, and Hysteria is 87. So yeah, that's a big jump in between.
But. Yeah, so they had a lot riding on this one, but they definitely came through.
They nailed it. Oh, great! Like, good call, bro.
Yeah, like I said, Pour Some Sugar on Me were probably rivals, Living on a Prayer for best 80s song.
Yeah,
that's another one you'll hear in the bars a lot.
So, yeah, lyrics are just bizarre too, but people dig it.
Yeah, who cares what they're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. What else you got?
Am I going to get a 2 in a row, or is that because
we
should? Yours was Hysteria too. That's cool. All right. Well, this is one I put on my list because I did listen to it a lot.
Okay.
And again, I liked the album before it, but I feel like this really came into their own, and this came out in a pivotal time in my life. I was it was end of junior year, beginning of my senior year, you know, and girls were involved in my life and things like that.
Cindy Lauper.
No, it's not Cindy Lauper. What? I actually like the Cindy Lauper album, but it's not on my list.
Okay.
It's Disintegration by The Cure.
Oh, okay.
And I gotta tell you, Alan, if you were ever feeling bad about a breakup or whatever, and it happened to be raining out, you sit in your bedroom, and you sit in your bedroom, lock the door, and put this album on. And I don't recommend that if you suffer from any kind of depression, but clinically diagnosed depression. But otherwise, this is the album that'll get you through a 1980s breakup.
Heartbreak.
From beginning to end.
Oh, no.
It's one of the saddest albums I've ever, and I've listened to Adele. And
this is she's sad.
Well, a lot of her songs are like breakups and stuff like that.
Okay.
You're talking about Plain Song, Pictures of You, which tears my heart out like 30 years later. Pictures of You. It ruins me. Plain Song, Pictures of You, Closed Down, Love Song, Last Dance, Lullaby, Fascination Street, Prayers for Rain, The Same Deep Water as You, Disintegration, Homesick, and Untitled. Just awesome. Just to help you feel the depth of emotions. You could be the most coldest, unfeeling person in the world. If I locked you in a room with this album, you'd be in tears.
Wow.
It's just great. It's just a fantastic album. And like I said, I like their first album, Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me. Well, not their first, but the one before it. Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me. But only because and it had this very poppy tune on it. It was Just Like Heaven.
Yeah.
Which is a great song in and of itself. But for them to drop and not the whole album was like that, Kiss Me, Kiss Me, Kiss Me, but you know, you go from that one, and you're like, oh, great, the next Cure album's out. Let's buy it. And then you hear all this just pure sadness coming out of Robert Smith's voice. You're like, what happened to this guy in the whatever amount of years between these two albums?
Wow.
It's just a great album. Like, I can still listen to it today.
I gotta ask.
It's really a great album. I don't know. Did you have any experience with The Cure?
No, I didn't. No, I know nothing about them, really. I may have heard them, but I wouldn't even know if it was a Cure singing. So I don't know.
Okay.
But I got to ask you now. I got to ask you.
All right.
What was her name?
No.
Oh, come on.
Concealed.
Come on. Come on. This is what, 30 years ago? Come on.
Move along.
More than that.
Yep.
You're kidding me. You're not going to name the name.
Nope. I'm a gentleman. I don't name names.
Is she listening? Is she really listening?
I don't know. Is anybody listening?
No one's listening. Come on.
Move along. Let's see here.
Wow. Oh, man. That would have been great if you did.
Tell you off air. Maybe.
Oh, you stink.
Yeah, whatever.
But they want to know. Right, listeners?
Well, you got...
Yeah. They want to know. They just said it.
But you got to also understand, this came out in 89, so it followed me into college, too. And I think you know some of the names from college.
Well, college...
But... Do not bring those names up.
I won't. I know, but high school. You said that you heard this in high school, right?
Yeah.
Okay, high school. Come on.
Move along. What's your next album?
Oh, it's... Hey, it will be therapeutic. Okay, I won't. It would be therapeutic if you did, though, but...
Oh, would it?
It would give such resonance to that album if you named the name. Okay, so... The next album I got here is, again, another guitar-centric album, Van Halen 1984.
Ooh.
Yeah, 1984, Jump, Panama, Top Jimmy, Drop Dead Legs, Hot for Teacher, I'll Wait, Girls Gone Bad, House of Pain. I loved all these songs. Jump is probably, if I had to pick, I think Jump and Panama were probably the big, and Hot for Teacher, maybe.
They were all singles.
They were probably the most popular ones. But Eddie Van Halen, that guy is insane. If you play guitar, know anything about guitar, this guy is the rock god. He was doing things with guitars that no one was doing before. So he was an innovator. And this is the album where, like you said in the beginning of the show, what was the 80s instrument was the keyboard. 84 was... Well, this is a very keyboard-heavy album, especially with Jump. I mean, it starts off keyboard-wise.
Right.
And I think this is... I could be wrong. I think this is the last David Lee Roth with the group, too, right?
Yeah.
Could be. So, again, another band where the lyrics just don't make any sense. I mean, if you sing it, they're just stupid. But I guess you really didn't listen to Van Halen for the lyrics, you know? But, hey, David Lee Roth, what a great front man, you know? I mean, you talk about the 80s, MTV, video. I mean, these guys stood out. Again, the captain of the hair bands, bright colors. I mean, if you watched any of their videos today, they look absolutely ridiculous. But for their time, they were badass. Even Eddie's guitar reflected the 80s. I mean, he had that Fender Strat.
The Flying V, right?
No, that's Randy Rhoads. But he had the Fender Strat with, you know, remember he had all the stripes, the black, white, reds.
Right.
And it had all, even, I mean, that was like, that was the 80s right there. But great album. And this album means a lot to me because I had an 81 Camaro Berlinetta. And I had an 8-track player on it. And when I got it and I begged my dad if he can hook me up with a cassette player, and he did, and it was the kind of cassette player that didn't have a rewind. So if you had a rewind, if you want to listen to the song again, you had to flip it over, hit fast forward, flip it over again, and then you'd have your song again. And so this is why I think this album, why every song hits it, because it was such a pain in the butt to eject, fast forward, pop back in, so you just let it play. So you go from front to back of that album, and I'd listen to it, and that's how I was so familiar with this album, because, you know, it'd be cool, you'd be going down the boulevard with your windows down in the summer evening with your buddies, and you're just playing Van Halen out of crappy speakers that would, if you got too loud, it would actually get distorted. So, but that was my stereo, yeah, so. Anyway,
that's awesome. Did you ever see Van Halen with David Lee Roth live?
I've never seen any Van Halen live, actually.
Really?
I did not. Actually, they were the band that got away from me, because I know a bunch of my friends did, and I was supposed to go twice, and for some reason something came up and I couldn't go. I probably had a test.
Oh, man.
It's probably a Sunday night. I don't know.
Now, do you choose sides in the Van Halen Van Hagar debate, or do you like, are you just, well, Eddie's there, I don't care about the rest?
I love them both. I think they are two different feels. David Lee Roth was definitely more heavy rock, heavy rock. I mean, this is raw Eddie Van Halen, and then with Sammy Hagar brought a different musicality to it, because he's a musician himself. Well, of course, they're all musicians, but he played guitar too. But he had a more melodic sound to it. I'm not saying it was softer, but there was probably more depth music-wise with Sammy Hagar, if you call Van Halen deep. But he brought a little bit of that to it, because when you listen to OU812, yeah, FUCK, Balance, 5150, they that's when they're really pushing the keyboard. But they were a little bit more deep, as Van Halen you expect to be deep, but deeper than David Lee Roth, I would guess.
You're saying David Lee Roth wouldn't sing Love Comes Walking In?
Right. Yeah, I think that's kind of, I remember reading some articles in Guitar Magazine, I think that's kind of what led to their breakup, because
Power Ballads?
Power Ballads. I think Eddie started off playing the piano too. But yeah, I know David didn't want to go down that route, and Eddie did. And I'm sure there was a multitude of reasons why they broke up, but I remember that was one of the reasons. But I like them both. I can pop them both. I can care less. Well, I do know anything besides Sammy Hagar was bad, because at one time Sammy left, well, he's still gone, and they got the singer from Extreme. That was a bad album.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I know David Lee Roth came back again when they did the soundtrack for Twister, and that was an excellent album, actually.
How was it?
Yeah, they came out and they did like two original songs, Me, Wise, Magic, and something else, and it was good. I mean, David can't hit those high notes like before, but it had that really cool old classic rock feel, if ever. Now, a lot of people don't know those songs, but yeah, if you pick up the soundtrack for Twister, they have two songs on there that was originally done, and they're actually pretty good.
Well, didn't they kick Michael Anthony out too and put Eddie's son in there, Wolfgang?
Yeah, so it's three quarters of it is all Van Halen right now, and I don't know who's singing now. I don't actually know who they're singing. Oh, David Lee Roth came back. That's
yeah, right. They're still touring with him, I think, right?
Yeah.
But I hear they're like separate, like they don't talk outside, like they don't interact at all outside of the concert.
Eh, you do it for the money.
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
You know. Do it for the money.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay, that's my pick. Van Halen. I had to throw Van Halen. Got my Van Halen, AC/DC, Bon Jovi, Def Leppard. It's amazing. Yeah, I never had a perm. Or
I know, right?
You got or one shaggy more, right? Hair. Yeah. Oh yeah, I have right, that.
I got one more too. Yeah. All right. So my last one is it's REM. The album is Life Life's Rich Pageant.
Okay.
Now, I discovered them, but I started listening to REM with Document, which is probably well known because it had The One I Love on it, mm-hmm. and It's the End of the World.
Okay.
So, you know, kind of like with Def Leppard, I discovered a later album, and then that led me to go, ooh, let's see what they did before. And Life's Rich Pageant is one of their earlier albums, and it's such a great album. And the thing about this, too, with REM at, back in those days was known purely as a college band. They kind of started the alternative music mm-hmm. genre.
Where are they from anyway? Do you know? Where?
They're from Athens, Georgia.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Yeah. Which is a college town.
Yeah.
So before alternative music was coined, they called it college music. And that's where you would find what people consider alternative music now. You would find them on college radio because they would take more chances because, you know, they were kids. They would just play what they like to listen to. So REM came out of that. They got big with Document. So I went back and I bought some of their earlier stuff. And Life's Rich Pageant is such a great album. They got songs like Begin to Begin, These Days, Fall on Me, Cuyahoga, Hyena, Underneath the Bunker, The Flowers of Guatemala, I Believe, What If We Give It Away, Just a Touch, Swan Swan, Hummingbird. And they have a song called Superman, which is a great song. So if I think we talked about putting little clips on of the music on, and I want you to use I Believe for this album. But it's just, they're such a great quartet. And the thing is, I felt more mature for liking REM because it wasn't pop music. Like, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the flashy. I was coming out of that long hair phase. You know, I was listening to Motley Crue. I was listening to Def Leppard. I was listening to Bon Jovi. I was listening to Cinderella. I was listening to all these hair bands. And I think with REM, and then later with like Nirvana, you know, when we were in college and stuff, I started growing up with it, you know, and I started even liking Bruce Springsteen's more, you know, newer stuff, which was more adult, I guess you would say. So yeah, REM for me was just a way of discovering kind of my own individuality, like kind of understanding who I was beyond, you know, just a brother or a son, just a kid, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it's just the songs today. Like, I can listen to these albums constantly. I remember, you know, when iTunes came out and stuff like that, and you got the ability to make these playlists and stuff, I was like, oh, I should make an REM playlist. And I couldn't do it because I was basically putting, like, whole albums into the playlist. I'm like, I might as well just put REM in the search bar and just listen. You know, so, cool. Yeah, I loved REM. I took them with me to college, and they've been you know, it's weird because as much as I love Bruce, there was a period in the 90s where I didn't listen to him anymore. But I went back to him. Like, I never stopped listening to REM.
Wow.
And they're the ones I never got to see live. And so when I never got to see Def Leppard. I've never seen The Cure. I'm okay with that. I regret, you know, because they've been broken for quite a few years now.
Right.
But I've never got to see REM live, and that's the one I regret.
I had no idea you liked that group.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm, interesting. Okay, last album. Ready?
Yep.
You're never going to get this one. Anyway.
You think?
Nah. This album, this is funny. So a lot of the albums I chose were more...
Yngwie Malmsteen. That's a... You're a guitar guy, that's why.
That guy's insane. All he does is scales. Anyway, so most of the albums I pick, rock stuff. Hey... John and I both know there's a tons of awesome albums out there, but these are just ones that we just picked. But this album was just very, very different. You know, growing up, you know, through the 80s and stuff, a lot of my friends knew me as a guy that liked rock music and stuff. But this is the one album where if I was home and I'm studying and this was not my album, this was my mom's album. But it's...
go ahead.
It's Michael Jackson's Thriller album. And this is a darn good album. You know, I mean, I can't believe I'm admitting this one. That's a good album. Check it out. Thriller. The Girl Is Mine. Wanna Be Starting Something. Beat It. Billie Jean. PYT. Human Nature. The Lady in My Life. Baby Be Mine.
It's your mom, apparently, because she gives you record albums.
It was my mom's album. But I do remember, like, I'm home, I'm studying, and I go to the record player. And I'm like, hey, it's Michael Jackson. But I would, you know, it's a good album. Come on, it's a good album. It's Thriller. It's a good album.
It's a good album. I'm not arguing with you. Are you trying to convince yourself?
Again, from the beginning of the podcast, I was thinking,
highest selling album for the longest time. It's a good album.
From the beginning of the podcast, I was thinking, what albums did I like that had, like, the majority of the songs were good? And Thriller was one of them, and it has a lot of good songs on there. You know, if I had to pick, if I took it on the mindset of which were my favorite albums, not in the 80s, it's going to be peppered with The Who, Pink Floyd, those kind of albums too, you know, Tom Petty. Sure. I mean, I love those albums, but I can honestly say maybe I didn't like all the songs on, or maybe as much as the ones I just mentioned, you know, and I didn't want to make it a whole top five of Van Halen because I like all their albums, but
like I didn't want to do a top five Bruce.
Right, I know, right? But but Michael Jackson's Thriller, this was a pretty, again, Michael Jackson, if you want to talk about like who's the, like if you're gonna pick one person to represent the 80s, I guess I'd have to say Michael Jackson. This guy was huge during the time. I mean,
absolutely,
his videos, the music, I mean, people swooned. I mean, like, when I think of Michael Jackson, maybe I would compare him to how people reacted when they saw the Beatles, because you would see people see Michael Jackson in, like, on TV, and they'd faint. I mean, he was like it, you know, and he was, I guess, again, you're talking about the birth of MTV and video music, and he tied it all together, you know. What Thriller was the one that was like, he made into kind of like a mini movie, wasn't that?
Yeah, that was like, that was a huge world premiere on MTV, and it was like 10 minutes long or something like that. It was directed by John Landis, I think.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big deal. And yeah, man, I mean, you're trying to justify why you put in your list. You don't have to. It's Michael Jackson Thriller. I mean, you can hate the guy, but you can't deny what the album was. You know what I mean?
That was big.
It's tons of great songs on that. Yeah.
But it was the one album that never made it to my Camaro. It was the one album that played it on my stereo system.
You were blasting it as you drove down the street?
Yeah, right? Anyway, red leather jacket.
The doggone girl is mine.
Oh, come on. Who we all try to do the moonwalk after freaking Billie Jean, you know?
Of course.
But that was the only reason why I didn't play him in my car. Not because I was embarrassed of him. Well, because people knew I was the guy that played the guitar. You know, I played school bands and stuff and battle the bands. And
you had an image. I get it.
I know.
You're right. Is that therapeutic for you that you admitted that?
Okay. So there you go. So those are our top albums. That was fun. Dude, I had a hard time with this one. You know, because I felt like if I didn't name particular albums, like I was like disrespecting it or like not giving their due diligence. But it was fun.
Yeah, look, I've said quite a few times before on our various shows, music has and continues to play a huge part of my life, and these albums are, I hold close to my heart, and I didn't hesitate to put The Cure on there, mm-hmm. but I was like, I hope people understand why I put The Cure on there, because it's, you gotta take the good with the bad. As much as Def Leppard made you want to rock out, The Cure made you want to put your covers over your head and wait for the day to end.
What's her name? What's her name?
I've advised my client.
And you know what's interesting? Of all the albums, like when you compare, and I'm not going to say that the 80s are better than today, but back then, these guys, they were the whole band. I mean, they wrote their music, they performed their music. You know, these guys played instruments. You know, a lot of music today is manufactured in a recording studio. And, you know, we got shows like American Idol and The Voice. It's glorified karaoke, you know. And a lot of artists are built from that, where back then, these were, you know, when you look at bands like all the bands that we mentioned, these guys start out from nothing, trying to make their way. You know, like I have a family member that's in the music industry, and it's rough. I mean, it's brutal, you know, to put your heart and soul into something and to focus on, like, to do music for a living and maybe not even make it. I mean, that's brutal. And when you think of bands, go ahead.
I was gonna say, let's look at our choices. You have You have Bruce Springsteen, who's considered one of the best live performers. You have Eddie Van Halen, and probably all the band members of Van Halen that were considered at the top of their game in each instrument they played. You know, The Cure and R.E.M. invented their own genres. Right. You know, alternative rock and goth rock.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a great point.
These guys
point.
Were super talented.
Yeah,
and at the top of their game. You're right. You don't get that now. It's very pop music now, and that was pop music. You know, back then. Pop music now is very manufactured. It's very it's auto-tuned. It's glammed up. It's all these young kids.
And you know what? To me, man, a lot of these people, like, that's why I get a little confused with the new artists, because they all kind of look the same to me. You know?
They all
have that kind of look. And you got a group like The Cure, who they were very different. You know, I mean, like, look at the 80s, all that big hair and makeup, and they were just bizarre looking, you know, but they were, you know, but they had an appeal to a lot of people, but they relied heavy on their music. You know, their music spoke volumes as to what they did influence wise.
Well, I mean, it's been written many times before how MTV kind of killed a lot of radio stars, because now they had to be, you know, like actors and video performers. And, you know, they always use the example of Christopher Cross. Remember, he was big in the 70s.
Okay.
He did Sailing, Take Me Away, and Caught Between the Moon and New York. Anyway, so he was like kind of big in the 70s, but he wasn't a very, I guess he wasn't uber attractive. So they're saying like his career suffered because of MTV.
Oh boy.
While others, you know, got big because of MTV, because they were pretty or they danced good. You know what I mean?
And Bon Jovi's hot.
Okay. but, you know, I think
from
that's
what I
we're hear. Now. And plus, look, we're 40 something year olds. They're not selling to us anyway. We're not their crowd. The pop music isn't aiming for us to buy their albums. Right. You know, they want your daughter, they want my nieces and nephews, and that's who they want to buy their records, not us.
Oh my God, my daughter's into Broadway music, like Hamilton. That's a big thing for her.
Oh, Hamilton's a good album, though.
Okay. Hey, we did some polls on Instagram. You want to hear some of these, what people chose? I was actually kind of surprised.
Instagram polls.
We need a jingle for everything.
Yes.
Okay, check this out. Debbie Gibson versus Tiffany.
Oh, I know where I voted.
Go.
Deborah Gibson.
Yeah, 77% over 23. And I thought Debbie was... Well, I thought, aesthetically, I thought Tiffany was cuter, but we all knew Debbie was the real musician, right?
Because Debbie was the girl next door. The guy will always go with the girl next door. It was Ginger versus Marianne. Marianne always wins.
Okay. And then we got here, New Edition versus New Kids on the Block.
Ooh.
The boy bands.
Mm. I know which one I voted. How'd the internet vote, though?
The internet voted. This was close. 56% for New Edition and 44% for New Kids on the Block.
Thank God New Edition won.
Yeah, they were awesome, man.
I like New Edition, yeah.
Okay, then we go to the hair bands. Guns N' Roses, Bon Jovi.
It's going to be GNR because Bon Jovi. GNR is the Han Solo to Bon Jovi's Luke Skywalker.
There's always a Star Wars reference. This was...
Star Wars is life.
No winner in this one. I should have pushed it, but I didn't realize it was a 50-50.
You should get on there and beg someone.
All right, maybe I'll re-poll this one then. How about that? Should I re-poll
it? It was 50-50, huh?
It was 50-50, right down the middle.
I can respect that.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys. But hey, when I'm looking at this picture, they all kind of look the same.
Yeah, no, right?
Yeah, lots of hair. And then who was your fave? So all these were, I wrote who was your fave. Okay, then we got Prince Clapton.
Prince.
Yeah, man, but landslide, 80% to 20. I was kind of surprised about that one.
That's kind of disrespectful to Clapton, don't you think?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised.
What the fudge, man?
Freaking guitar god. But hey,
I know,
Prince
right?
is fantastic. He's got, you know, I almost put Purple Rain down too. That's a great album.
That's a great album.
Yeah. You know what, man? I kind of.
No.
When you and I hang out.
No.
Okay.
Can't do it. Save it for part two. Our other top five albums.
Okay. Right. Okay. And then let's finish it up with. Oh, no. We got two more. Madonna versus Cyndi Lauper.
Madonna, I think, won.
Close. 53% Madonna, 47% Cyndi Lauper. That was, a lot closer than I thought it was going to be.
Well, I would say Cindy's definitely more talented.
Yeah?
I think so. Yeah.
If I had to think about, let's see, if I had to think of re-listenable songs, maybe I would lean towards Cindy. Time After Time. Give me a couple. Time After Time. What else was it?
Time After Time, True Colors.
True Colors. Oh, those
Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
I think the first two I probably listened
to. The Goonies are good enough. Well, her slow songs are really good.
Yeah.
True Colors is a great song.
That's a great song. Time After Time, great song. Okay, then we got... Oh, check this out. Kiss versus The Cure. And I only picked the... Yeah, the reason why I picked these two is because they had freaky looks.
Okay.
Yeah, they had a mascara.
Totally different music sounds.
Yeah, I know. I was...
I would say Kiss one.
The Cure one, 57-43.
Wow, that was closer than I thought it would be. All right, Cure.
Yeah, I went with the mascara on this one. Who's got the best mascara? All right. So that's all I got.
All right. I got a couple of Facebook polls.
Oh, really? People did?
All right. Yes.
Okay, go for it.
First one. Which is the best song to turn all the way up and sing along to?
Okay.
Leave It On a Prayer by Bon Jovi or Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard?
Oh, dude.
How do you think the internet voted, Alan?
I'm signing with Bon Jovi, I would guess.
Yes, but it was close. Really? 53-47. Bon Jovi, Leave It On a Prayer.
Close. Come on. Everyone belts out Bon Jovi's.
Leave
It On a Prayer! That's freaking impossible to sing.
And shockingly, that math added up.
Hey, that's another thing. Def Leppard, Joe Elliott, dude, he's got some high notes, too.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Yeah. And I remember one time when I saw him, my friend asked me, like, was it really him singing it? Like, did they use some sort of, like, electronic device to hit the high notes? I'm like, no, man, this guy can hit him. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They're touring with Filipino Journey this summer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I was actually thinking of seeing them, too.
I'm thinking about going to see them, too, because I want to see Filipino Journey. I love them.
Oh, you know who I saw 2 years ago? I saw Def Leppard, Cheap Trick, and check this out. And I gave
Joe Elliott still hit the notes.
Check this out. So that night, Joe Elliott had strep throat. So he did the "I'm sorry, guys, but can you help me sing it?" So he
are you kidding me?
No, I kid you not. So he would point the mic out. But you know what? I gotta say. So this is exactly what I mean about real musicians. The show must go on. You know, he could have canceled. You know, he could easily have done that. But no, we went out there. He performed, and it was weird. And you know what? That night, I had the option to see AC/DC, too. I was like, ah, crap. All right. What other poll you got?
That's funny. Best beats and rhymes, Beastie Boys or Run DMC?
Oh, holy crap.
I know,
that's a good poll.
Hell yeah.
Oh my God! I don't know. God, I don't know. Run DMC? I don't know.
That was a push.
Okay.
50-50.
Wow.
Respect to both.
Wow. All right. I dig that.
Best album to listen to on a rainy day right after a breakup.
Gee, I wonder which one won this one.
It's The Smiths, The Queen Is Dead, or The Cure, Disintegration.
I'm guessing The Cure. I didn't listen to either of them.
Well, yeah, it's 75-25, The Cure.
What was her name?
Why are you whispering?
Say that. Come on, say that name.
All right. Best album, Michael Jackson Thriller or Madonna Like a Virgin?
Oh, come on. That's not even close. This has got to be Thriller all the way. It's got to be.
It was. Yeah, 82% Thriller.
It's got to be. Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm.
All right, one more. And I really just, people took this one way too seriously.
Okay.
So I just wanted to do a Heaven Hell thing. So I said, which album do you prefer, Heaven or Hell? So I put Motley Crue, Shout at the Devil, versus Stryper.
That's a good thing. Ooh.
Well, look, obviously the Crue won, but people were like, oh my God, it's got to be the Crue. What? Stryper, huh? I'm like, all right, relax, guys. And then you always got the people that don't like your two choices, so they want to go, what about this band? No, dude, it's a poll. Choose one or the other.
Right.
Stop so they it. Mentioned Slayer and King's X, which I've never
I don't know who
to.
That is. King's
Nor
X.
Do I.
Huh. Okay.
So, yeah, of course, I really just wanted to go for the Heaven Hell motif, so I picked the Crue and Stryper.
And Molly Crue was really big.
Was good. I'll tell you what, Girls always made my list.
Yeah. Oh, Dr. Feelgood. That's a sick album.
I don't know if that's an 80s one.
No. I think that came out in the 90s. Yeah.
In 90, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I like Girls. That was good.
I like that song, Kickstart. My heart or your heart? My heart.
Yeah, isn't that the White's wind up song?
The what?
When Dwight goes in the hallway.
Oh, that is the song. Yeah, he goes, "Leave the keys," and Jim's like, "You still do that? Leave the keys," and then he plays that song, and he's like banging his head on the back of the seat.
Yeah, and he does it in the hallway too. I think sometimes.
Probably. Yeah, that's the only reason why I have that on my iPhone.
You're funny.
My daughter knows it. When she hears that song, she thinks of Dwight. Hey, man. It's awesome.
She thinks you're Dwight? That's funny.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're done with the albums, huh? Did you have one more? Or no?
No, I did five. You did five, right?
No, I mean, did you have anything else on Facebook?
On Facebook? No.
Okay. All right, then.
I want to do thank yous to people on YouTube, and we got a whole bunch of new people on Anchor. Did you see that?
Holy cannoli! Like
as recent as like yesterday.
Yeah, Anchor we blew up on Anchor. That was bizarre.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Well, I guess it helps because we're featured on the homepage. How about that?
That was very nice of them to put us in their top 10 on arts and entertainment.
Well, okay, go for your thank yous, bro.
I'm trying to. How do you find who's subscribing to you on YouTube?
Nice prep work. I don't know. That's your thing.
All right,
so,
then.
Jonathan's been doing videos on a lot of, he's got a lot of unboxing of, Funkos and a bunch of other things.
Yeah, like stuff I ordered in the mail, but then I also do unboxings of like, things like, what did I do the unboxing of? Oh, I did the,
yeah, the Star Wars Black
subscription
series.
The subscription box. Uh-huh. I did the Animal Instinct from Marvel. Mm-hmm. And then the Star Wars Black series was stuff I ordered and forgot what I ordered.
Okay.
That kind of stuff. And I'm waiting on, DC has a Funko box. I'm waiting for that one to come in.
Okay.
And I'm waiting for, Star Wars is going to have one in the middle of the month. So when those come in, I'll do unboxing for those. I also have another unboxing that I'm going to try to film tomorrow morning.
Okay.
If possible.
Nice.
Is in the community? Let me see. Community subscribers. Here we go. All right. So we have subscribers, but only 2, 4, 6 of them are listed as because you can be a private subscriber, meaning mm-hmm. you don't know who subscribes. All right. So I want to say thank you to Robbie Laux.
Hey, Robbie.
Robbie. Gmo Box Time Lapse.
Hey.
Ing.
Gina.
Gmo Box. Angel V.
Okay.
Miss Donna Newman, Mr. J, and Sawyer 189.
Mr. J. So
thank you for subscribing.
That wasn't really
Quinn. thank you for subscribing, and we'll be posting some stuff soon. And look forward to your comments and or other things. So yeah, if you don't know, we're on Nerd and Me podcast on YouTube. I do unboxings. Alan posted a how-to on a game called Oregon Trail. He'll be posting some other stuff. I'll be posting some other stuff. We're trying to get our YouTube up and running, and it seems to be doing pretty good so far. Okay. So take a look at that Nerd and Me podcast on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to plug anything?
Sure. Nerd and Me has 2 shows a week.
We have
The Week in Geek, which drops every Wednesday or Thursday morning, where Alan and I discuss the hot topics in geek news of the past week. And also we have a regular show that drops on the weekend where we discuss our different various topics. We have some friends at podcast, Alan.
We got friends. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
The podcast.
Yeah.
J&P on Enter the Nerd Zone just dropped an episode on wrestling jobbers. Take a listen. A jobber is a guy that is paid to make the other wrestlers look good and to help them become popular with the fans. Mm-hmm. So they tend to lose a lot of their matches, but there are some great jobbers in wrestling history, and J&P talk about them. We have Stuff You Don't Need to Know, me, you, Jay, Pete, dropping content on a lot of different subjects. You're doing Office Rewatch. I do Movie Past Moments and Our History. Jay does Black Belt Theater, Monday Memories, Fictional Bands, other things. Pete does Sports in 5, and I believe he started up a new thing called top 5 in 5. So be on the lookout for that.
Cool.
Okay. Fat Guy's Little Coats.
Oh, yeah. What?
Sorry, dude. Shit, I'm not done. Fat Guy's Little Coat.
What's me that?
Me and Pete travel. We discuss it.
Yeah, sure.
We publish it.
Okay. Shush.
Fat Guy's Little Coats. And Cousin Kev has a podcast.
Okay.
John and Kev's Big Stupid Podcast. Take a listen. Cousin Kev, you might know from our Return of the Last Jedi show from a few months ago. And I think, is that everybody? I think that's everybody.
You sure?
I think that's a lot of no. Have you heard of any more friends signing up to podcast?
No. All right.
Okay.
All right, we're done. Till next time.
Martha. Peace.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.